Welcome to Grace Bible Church. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't have many notes this morning. So this could go short, this could go long. I don't know. We'll find out. So we may be in trouble. If you'll turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And over the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've been going over big words of the Bible. And over the next couple weeks moving forward, probably the biggest word or the most complicated word or maybe a word that a lot of churches don't use is the word dispensationalism or being a dispensationalist or dispensations. So that is what we're going to look over, and it could take multiple weeks. You may not understand this in week number one, but just bear with me and just, you know, take what you can, go home, study it for yourself, and be your own Berean of the Word of God. Let's first open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God, that it can come to life. We just pray that you'll use me, that you'll speak through me, that the Word of God will come to life this morning, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Again, we thank you that we can understand it, that we can grow from it, that it can convict us, and that you can use each and every one of us. Why you've chosen us, we don't know, but you have given us a purpose in life. And you have chosen us to spread the good news of the gospel. We just thank you for that. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 first, it says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So again, the apostle Paul is talking here. He's speaking to the Gentiles. And in verse 2, he says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." So again, there's about 4 or 5 times in the Word of God that he uses the word dispensation. And if you go back to the Greek word for dispensation is oikonomia. And basically it means household of rules. And the best explanation I enjoy doing for this is Aiden comes to me and says, you know, I tell her she has to go to bed at 8 o'clock. She says, "Well, my friend down the street, Abby, gets to go to bed at 9. "Well, you were born into the wrong household. I can't help you there. So again, I have my dispensation, which is dispensing of a time period. And over, like I said, over the next couple of weeks, we'll look through this. But you can see here, we believe there's 7 dispensations throughout the Word of God. And so during the time period of dispensation of innocence, Adam and Eve were created. They were born. They were born innocent. We've been talking on Wednesday nights how long they were innocent. 5 minutes, 2 days, there's no way to know. Personally, I don't believe it was very long. If I know myself and somebody tells me not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm running directly to that tree. It's just our sin nature, it's our human nature, it's who we are. So Adam and Eve were born into the dispensation of innocence. The only thing they had to do was not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If they would have fulfilled that, they would have lived for eternity. They would have been saved. They would have. And as you go through, you can see you have dispensation of innocence, dispensation of conscience, human government. And like I said, over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about those. But just, it's a dispensing of time. And in each and every period, they had different responsibilities. They had different ways of salvation. They had different gospels. Yes, the cross covered all of them, but before the cross happened in the dispensation of innocence, the cross didn't appeal to them at all because they didn't need it. So again, we're going to look at that throughout. If you look here again in Ephesians chapter 3, he goes on in verse 3, it says, "How that by revelation made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Jump over with me to Colossians, another place that it is. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And if you want any of these charts, I've got 2 or 3 charts that we'll be using this morning. Just let me know and I can get those to you. We can print them, make copies. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Again, the Apostle Paul is speaking. It says, whereof I am made a minister. The Apostle Paul is made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This dispensation, the age of grace, was dispensed to the Apostle Paul so we could fulfill the word of God. And we can see that here in the church age, Acts 9 through Philemon. It's by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, like I said, dispensations is a time period. This chart's a little overwhelming when you first look at it, so don't allow it. Jump over with me to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, you can see at verse 11, it says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So again, as we look at time periods, and I'm going to get into, so let's jump. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but the biggest division in the Word of God is not the Old Testament and the New Testament. Even though a lot of people say, oh, okay, the Old Testament's for the Jews, the New Testament's for us. The Old Covenant is for Israel. The New Testament, the New Covenant, is also for the nation of Israel. So we've got two covenants that are for the nation of Israel. The biggest and most important division in the Word of God is between prophecy and mystery. And when we talk about prophecy, it's a foretelling. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, you should be right there as well. Ephesians 3, 9, it says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Out there on our board in the foyer there, that is my calling, that is Grace Bible Church's calling. Salvation is the most important thing, which I think salvation is inside the mystery. The mystery is salvation. And as we study over the weeks, you can see that. But we are called to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Look at 2 Timothy 2:4. Actually, 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. The Holy Spirit, which allowed the Apostle Paul to write this, his desire, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So again, number one, we want all men to be saved. That is no, I'm not arguing that. I'm not debating that. He wants all men to be saved. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then we got to dive into the Word of God deeper and understand it. We have to understand who it's written to, what it's written for, how we can apply it to our life. And that is come unto the knowledge of the truth. So again, when we divide prophecy and mystery, like I said, prophecy is a foretelling. And Ephesians 2 verse 11 and 12 there talks about in times past. Before the Apostle Paul was saved, before he was dispensed this age of grace, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. For a Gentile to be saved, he had to become a proselyte. He had to do everything that the Jews did. He had to follow the law. He had to follow the 613 laws. There's not 10. The world thinks there's 10 commandments and that's it. No, in the Jewish time, there were 613 laws that you had to follow. Thankfully, I don't wash dishes, but you couldn't wash this pan with that pan and you couldn't combine things. And there was all kinds of rules what you could and could not do. But for a Gentile to be saved, in time past, which is what Ephesians 2:11 says, Ephesians 12. So again, verse 11 says that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. So we're talking about in times past. In verse 12, it says at that time ye were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So again, that's where we were from Genesis all the way up to Acts chapter 9 before the Apostle Paul was saved. Doesn't mean a Gentile wasn't saved, but you had to become a Jew. You had to become a proselyte. You had to do everything that they called you to do. If you go on to verse 13 in Ephesians 2, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." That's where we're at here in this age of grace. The mystery program. And then you can even jump up to verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 2, and it talks about the ages to come. "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ." So again, we can see in times past, who we are today, and the future. So let's look at this a little bit, just so I have verses to explain this. Jump to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. There's a lot of things that are prophetic. There's a lot of things that are prophecy. There's a lot of things that the world today wants to look forward and say, okay, if that happens, then this is going to happen. Well, in the age of grace, in the mystery program, it was all kept secret. So I believe there is no prophecy that we can follow. And first, we're going to look at prophecy. If you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And it says, "Then his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied." It's pretty simple. This is what he prophesied. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Okay, so since the world began, he spoke the prophets, "that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham." Jump up to Acts chapter 3. Jump up to Acts chapter 3. So again, prophesied from the beginning of the world. What? If you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Here it says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Again, this is part of prophecy. This is the prophetic program here. Now jump to Romans 16, 25. So again, those two verses said it was prophesied from the beginning of the world. In Romans 16, 25, it says, again, the Apostle Paul is speaking, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." We have a difference here. Again, go home and study it for yourself. I'm not telling you what it says. It's what the Word of God says. We had prophecy which was spoken before the world began, and now we have a secret that was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. It's the mystery program. And when you can divide the two between prophecy and mystery, it helps make the Word of God make sense. Again, a secret hidden God was only revealed through the Apostle Paul. So we have two different things going on here. We have two different things here, and you can jump back to Acts chapter 3. That's talking about the kingdom program. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The refreshing is the kingdom age. The nation of Israel will eventually have an earthly kingdom set up here on earth. That is part of the prophecy. That is part of the prophetic program. If you took out this portion here, if you took out Acts 9 to Philemon, the age of grace, the word of God would just go straight together and we'd have a prophetic timeline, the entirety of it. But through the nation of Israel, through the prophetic program, through what has happened, and we'll dig into it a little bit deeper, like I said, as we go. But the nation of Israel rejected Jesus Christ as God the Father. There's three different times they rejected him. They rejected him in the Old Testament. They crucified him in the New Testament. And then in Acts chapter 8, talks about the stoning of Stephen and the rejection of the Holy Spirit. And at that time, they are set aside. We can see that they are set aside for a time, which is the time of the mystery age, the age of grace. That is where we are at today. Look at Matthew chapter 16 with me. Matthew chapter 16, you can start in verse 13. Talks about Peter and the 12. And it says here, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. It continues on and says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was prophesied, but it was never prophesied for salvation. You can even see in verse 22, it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter, one of the 12, argues with the Lord Jesus Christ that he will not go to the cross. Six verses earlier, he said, you are the Son of the living God. But I do not believe you're going to go to the cross of Calvary. It's two different programs. I'm not saying that Peter was not saved. Peter followed Jesus. Peter believed at that time that their salvation was believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and repent and be baptized. It's part of the prophecy program. Today in the age of grace, it is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation. You can even jump over to Luke chapter 18. He does the same thing. I just want to show you some differences, and hopefully over the next couple weeks we can tie it all together. Luke chapter 18. Same exact thing happens. Then he took unto him the 12 and said, this is verse 31. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked, he spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. The 12 did not believe he was going to the cross. 12 didn't believe that he would be raised from the dead. If they did, they would have been sitting at the tomb waiting for him to come out. They did not believe it. They did not understand it. They couldn't comprehend it. If Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, why would he be crucified? But you can jump over to Romans just a few verses that show you can look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." Again, the Apostle Paul is talking about the mystery program. He's talking about the age of grace. He's talking about what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles be come in." Again, it's a secret. It was revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Look at 16:25 one more time, and 26. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Verse 26, "But now is made manifest." When something is made manifest, it's made known. Once the Apostle Paul received it, he now has made it known to the world. And it says, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." And then Colossians 1, 25 and 26, you can see. We already read, but we'll read it again. "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." So we had a secret program that is now revealed to the Apostle Paul. So you may say, well, what is part of, what's it matter? What's the difference? What are there some things? Again, when we can begin to understand right division, which I meant to read that verse and I didn't read it, but 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Which means to cut straight. The word of God has divisions in it. Part of the word of God is written to the nation of Israel. Part of the word of God is written to the body of Christ. And when we can begin to divide that, it helps us understand Scripture. So, again, here we have the nation of Israel, the gospel of the kingdom. That is what the 12 were. The 12 were trying to set up the earthly kingdom. The 12 were, "Repent, ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But they rejected it. Again, the nation of Israel has earthly promises and hopes and blessings. Talks about Christ as a king. Talks about the 12 apostles. Like I said, we'll go over these over the next couple weeks. Talks about water baptism being under the law. But when we get to the body of Christ and the age of grace, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it helps if we can divide these two, because we're not arguing whether it's, do I need to be baptized? Do I need to tithe? Do I need to give? Do I have to go to church? When we rightly divide the word of truth, we can see the difference between the body of Christ and the nation of Israel, or the kingdom program, the prophesied program. So the kingdom was prophesied. And that's going to come back in after the rapture. We have heavenly promises. The nation of Israel had earthly promises. Christ is the head in the nation of Israel. Christ is king. We have spiritual blessings. Again, it talks about in the Gospels, all the blessings that for the nation of Israel are earthly, physical blessings. A believer receives today spiritual blessings. For the nation of Israel, they have 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes. And that will be a literal earthly kingdom that will be set up after the tribulation in the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the age of grace, we have one apostle. Then we have the Holy Spirit's baptism and the water baptism. And you may say, well, why did he do this? And I brought all this up for, you know, when I started looking up the word dispensations and dispensationalism, where did I want to start? And I think the most important division in the Word of God is between what is prophesied and what is kept secret. And when you can begin to tie that all together, it helps make sense. But one thing with everything going on with COVID and all the world coming, you know, we think we're coming to an end because maybe we aren't happy with the president or whatever it is. prophecy is not going to come back into play until after the rapture. When the minute the rapture occurs, you can say, yes, prophecy is back in. Everything that Jesus told me is going to happen begins to happen at that time. You can't, there's no, yes, maybe we can say we're pointing to it or the world is getting worse. Yes, I understand that. But there's nothing in the Word of God that's going to say, hey, we see a blood moon and now it's happening. Prophecy does not begin happening again until after the rapture. And again, you can see the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Two verses and we'll wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 15:51. There's many things in the age of grace that were kept secret, that was a mystery. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Apostle Paul says, hey, I have another mystery for you. I have a secret that was only revealed to me. The rapture was given to the Apostle Paul as a secret, and we can't tie prophecy and mystery together. It doesn't make sense. So the rapture is part of the age of grace, the mystery. In conclusion, jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You may say, well, why didn't Jesus just say, hey, from the beginning of time, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to occur. You know, why didn't the 12 just accept it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the 12 disciples said, yes, I understand that Jesus Christ is going to the cross, that he's going to be raised again, we're going to be sitting outside that tomb, he did it for my sins and my salvation. If the 12 understood it, then Satan would have understood it. And it's not my word saying that, it's what the Word of God says, which none of the princes of this world had known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Throughout Scripture and throughout time, how many times did Satan try to get rid of Jesus Christ? He tried to kill the babies. There's multiple times that he said, I'm going to do away with Jesus Christ. Because he knew he was going to lose. And he believed for 3 days while Jesus was in that tomb, he thought he was victorious. And when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, rose again, and revealed this special message to the Apostle Paul, he lost. Jesus Christ was victorious because he kept this secret since the world began. There's two different programs in the Word of God. It starts with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's an earthly kingdom for the nation of Israel. There's a heavenly kingdom for the body of Christ. And he had to keep it that way. Again, anybody can be a part of the body of Christ. Jew, Gentile, we'll see some verses on that. There's a lot to tie into to an introduction of the word dispensationalism. But again, just start looking at the Word of God between prophecy and mystery. But he had to do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that no matter how many times we study it, we can't exhaust it. We can continue to open it up. We can continue to learn from it. We can continue to be convicted. Each and every time I open up the Word of God, I learn something new. And I just thank you for that. It comes to life. We just thank you that you were willing to send your son to die on the cross. That if we put our faith and trust in that, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray in your precious son's name.